I've always felt rather sorry for the Pharisees. Hearing the Gospels read Sunday by Sunday, we're given the impression of a narrow-minded, self-righteous group of hypocrites who, in order to protect their own interests, oppose Jesus at every turn and then finally play a crucial role in his destruction. Of course, we have to remember that the Gospels were written by Jesus' followers. They were unlikely to be very sympathetic to any of his opponents. And wouldn't it be fascinating if we possessed an account of Jesus' ministry written by Pharisees? Modern scholars tell us that there was more to be said for them than we might think from just reading the Gospels. But that said, it is pretty incontrovertible that their approach to religion and Jesus' approach were diametrically opposed. We might summarize the difference with a saying of Dr. Samuel Johnson. Visiting a convent, an unusual thing for a Protestant Englishman to do in the 18th century, he remarked to the abbess, rather rudely we might think, "Madam, you are here not for the love of virtue, but for the fear of vice." The same could perhaps be said of the Pharisees, as depicted in the Gospels. They had got their religion the wrong way round. Rather than encouraging virtue, they were obsessed with discouraging vice. It is on this critical misunderstanding that Jesus turns his spotlight in the sayings gathered together by Luke in today's second lesson. First, he refers to the Pharisees' insistence on ritual cleanliness. The regulations require that the outside of the vessel be cleansed. But what about the inside? Something or someone, that is Jesus' point, may appear superficially just and righteous, but may inwardly be quite the opposite, full of greed and wickedness, as Jesus puts it. So he tells them, get your priorities right. In a more accurate translation of the Aramaic, cleanse the inside, and behold, all is clean for you. In other words, where there is inner purity, outward conduct can be allowed to look after itself. Then he talks about paying tithe. It is a religious duty to pay tithe, a tax of 10% on agricultural products. But the Pharisees take it to absurd lengths, demanding tithe on a handful of herbs grown in the garden for use in the kitchen. While they are fussing about this, they neglect justice and God's call for compassion towards the needy. They have lost their sense of proportion. They can't see the wood for the trees. And then thirdly, they mistake this dutiful obsession with trivia for true piety and expect to be rewarded with seats of honour in the synagogue and treated respectfully in the streets. At the same time, their blind misrepresentation of what true religion is all about contaminates others, like dead bodies in concealed graves. Poor Pharisees, so dutiful, so careful, so scrupulous, so superficially righteous. But they were missing the point. They were mistaking a means for an end. Even more significantly, they were failing to see that faith is about a creative relationship with a living God who demands new and adventurous things of us, rather than a fearful adherence to a series of immutable texts set in stone. They worried about obeying the letter when they should have been listening for the invitation of the Spirit. Christians face exactly the same temptations. In the midst of a world which often seems to pay little heed to what we have to say, and a society which seems daily to be casting off the constraints of an inherited Christian culture. It's awfully tempting to cling desperately to the received outward forms of religion rather than asking ourselves what the Spirit is asking of us in this generation. But unless that conversation takes place and produces that inner conversion, that turning, that is an essential and regular part of the Christian life, outward forms will avail us nothing. God calls us to be positive, not negative, to go forward in faith, not to shrink back in fear. Amen.